Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We'll head out to the hotline right now. We'll chat some baseball. And as the coronavirus is impacting the baseball world, the former big league closer, World Series champion with the Philadelphia Phillies. And that's Brad Lidge here with us back on the show. Brad, how are you and the family holding up? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, Zach, listen, thanks for asking about my family. We're all doing good. We're getting a little bit tired of being hunkered down. The online schooling is starting up, but I'll tell you what, everyone knows what I'm talking about. You got a few kids at home. It can become close quarters at times. So we're trying to find things to do during the days right now.
I think you appreciate their teachers a little bit more right now, correct?
Oh man, you're not lying. Yeah, teachers. We all knew they didn't make enough before. Now we really know. So. Getting your kid fired up every day to try and learn things coaching them in sports is one thing, coaching them in school is an entirely different element.
Brad Lidge here with us on the show. How old are your kids, by the way, Brad?
Well, my daughter's 15, and at this point she's pretty darn self-sufficient. She knows what she's doing online, and she can, you know, her teachers have sent her kind of information. They're on spring break right now, so. They really wouldn't be doing a whole lot these days anyway, but starting on Monday, she'll be going back to school and doing her thing. My son's 11, and, when this whole thing started, he was playing basketball, baseball. So, you know, it's like you got to figure out ways to keep them entertained, ways to get them exercise, ways to keep their brains going. It's a lot, but it's also great to have a lot of family time. We'll see, a couple weeks if everyone hasn't driven each other crazy.
I think we're all in the same boat as Brad Lidge is here with us. So this is different for kids. You know, this is different for adults. It's different for everybody. How do you explain this to your kids right now? Because, you know, what's going on right now, it's scary no matter how old you are.
Well, it is. And I think, you know, fortunately, there's enough ways for kids to be able to kind of talk to each other as well, with social media these days and kind of stay connected. And because of that, I think it makes it a little bit easier in some ways just to relay the information to them because they're all going through the same thing. They all understand that right now, something pretty crazy happened and it's very unusual. And, you know, I always tell them, listen, Mom and Dad have never been through anything like this in our lives. So we're all going through this for the first time together. So maybe we can have some fun with it. And when it's all said and done, we're going to look back and be able to tell, you know, I let them know. I was like, someday you're going to tell your kids about this and this crazy time period that you lived through. And hopefully it's over before you know it. And we should just try and enjoy this time because hopefully we won't have anything like this happen again.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears, as Brad Lidge is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Have you been binge watching anything recently, Brad?
Binge watched, Vikings on History Channel. I've always been a big fan of that. I don't know about binge watching, but I've caught up on about, you know, two dozen movies here over the last 2 weeks. Seems like every night before I go to bed, I pull up another movie that I'm like, oh yeah, sure, why not? Haven't seen that in a while and fire it up. So, you know, between Netflix and iTunes and, you know, DirecTV and everything else, I've got all the different things going right now. So I'll find something every single night to keep me busy.
I have not seen this show yet, but everyone's raving about it. And I actually have no interest because it was explained to me in a segment that we do called Onsides or Offsides earlier. Have you seen this show, Tiger King? Have you heard anything about it?
Tiger King. I have not heard about Tiger King. We've been rating. Is it on Disney Plus? No, am I way off?
You're way off. It's like tigers and like people are trying to kill one another because owners like corrupt things. It's on Netflix, and I don't think it's a kid friendly show.
Okay, so I was. So it's not like the Disney things I was thinking about. Okay, so I guess that'll be when the kids go to bed. I can fire.
Yeah. I have not watched it. My producer and my board op are telling me I gotta watch it, and I go after they explained it to me. I basically said I have zero interest. But for me, it's been a lot of Law and Order, a lot of King of Queens, and the John Taffer Bar Rescue Show. I'm starting to get sick of those shows. I usually do like them, and you know what? You got to go outside and get some physical activity. But you're not really supposed to get out of your house too much. You know that.
Well, yeah, you know, we've tried and, you know, we're very fortunate to have a little bit of land around us. And you know, we get out there. My son hit wiffle ball golf balls today. We've done the wiffle ball baseball thing long enough. We went to golf balls today. So, you know, we just go from sport to sport. You know, we've tried to set up a little makeshift soccer area for my daughter who's, you know, can't do that in high school now. So it is tough, you know, trying to find ways to get exercise and have fun doing it and not have it be monotonous. Those are, you know, that's definitely a challenge.
Give me the athlete side of it. Let's say you were still playing. We know how much baseball is a routine, and it's about reps, and it's about consistency and feeling in a good mental state. Now, not knowing when the season's going to start, and you already started with spring training, and now spring training obviously is not going on. If you were still playing, how would you try to still keep yourself ready to go with not wanting to do too much because you don't know when you're going to be good to go and when baseball is going to come back? So how would you try to approach that right now, Brad?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. I would basically treat it, and the guys I've talked to are kind of treating it like the second half of the off season, in which, you know, look, you've taken your time off in the first half, you've been with your family, you've rested, you've recovered, you've played catch, and then the second half of the off season, you know, typically mid-January to mid-February, you're throwing a lot of bullpens and you're getting yourself and keeping yourself in baseball shape and getting your arm cranked up. It's somewhere in that, you know, in that mold, except for there should be a little bit more intensity with each thing right now. And I would say this, you know, it's kind of vital for a lot of guys to be able to find other players right now so that when they throw those bullpens, they can go. There's a lot of indoor places where major leaguers can go and meet up together. They can throw bullpens to hitters. You know, they can put up that L screen and throw some live, you know, do some live pitching to hitters inside of a cage. Hitters can keep their timing in check that way. But look, there's nothing that can simulate actual games and the environment around it and everything else. So that's why baseball will have to have, you know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks to crank this thing up on the other side when everybody gets back after it to get that timing down. But it's weird. You know, in one sense, you want to keep your arm fresh, but in another sense, you don't want to kind of wear yourself out throwing tons of bullpens right now. I mean, you want to be ready for the season, but you also just don't want this thing to keep going on and on and throwing bullpens every other day. So I think, honestly, they got to get creative and mix it up, and they themselves have to try and have you know, find ways to have fun with this thing, because the reality is you think you know a window. You know, we've heard some of what Manfred said. We're hoping it's the end of May, but we just don't know. And so, you know, what do you do with that? I mean, that's really hard. You just got to try and set a goal for yourself. Tell yourself, this is the only thing I know right now, so I'm going to get ready for this date. And if it keeps changing and the rock keeps getting kicked down the road, then you just got to find, you know, the next way to keep yourself ready and the next way after that.
And none of us knows. We're talking to Brad Lidge. You know, I expect the commissioner to be optimistic. I'd be surprised, though, if we're back by the end of May. But really, no one knows what turn this is going to take next and when we're going to get back to some sort of normalcy. But you're saying probably 3 weeks, you know, whenever they get the okay to return, players are probably going to need like an extended spring training of let's say 3 weeks to get back in and to be good to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think 2 weeks is not quite realistic. I think 3 weeks makes more sense. Now, they're going to try and, you know, condense that as much as possible. Maybe you play, you know, two games every single day so everyone's getting their work, and then the timing comes back fast. And if you're a pitcher, you know, you're a bullpen guy, hey, you know, that's 20 days, 21 days, you know, get 7-8 outings and be ready. If you're a starting pitcher, you know, try and crank it up as fast as possible. But we know one thing's for sure, you know, even if they do have 3 weeks, pitchers, you know, wherever starting pitchers left off in spring training, they're going to have to crank it back up. Even if they're throwing simulated games that I was kind of mentioning, you know, in some indoor facility in a cage to a hitter, that's not realistic. I mean, it is to a certain extent, but it's not what you're actually going to be doing. So you're going to have probably at least three or four, starts before you'd feel comfortable. And even then, you're going to be limited to about five innings, I think, when this thing actually gets going. And that's why, it appears MLB is going to be, pushing that roster size to potentially 28, 29 people. 29 people, I think, is what I've heard most recently. When we do start back up, because that starting pitcher is just not going to be able to cover really more than five innings at that point. I mean, there is a way you could probably condense it to 2.5 weeks. I just think it would be impossible to do any less than that.
Brad Lidge here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When we get to what the season could potentially look like, and once again, we don't know when it's going to start, so it's difficult to answer, but I think it's clear that we're not going to have 162 games. Do you have an idea to try to get as many games as possible, or is it just best to, just cut a certain amount of games from the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a touch and go, right? Like, I think MLB is still trying to figure out a way to get 140 games in. I think that is not super realistic, but that's, I guess, a best-case scenario. Things start up and, toward the end of May, and they're playing a lot of doubleheaders, and they extend the season into October quite a bit. If everything broke right, maybe 135, 140 games. But, gosh, I think it's more realistic to say, like, 100 and just try and figure out the, everything you can do to get those 100 in. And, I say it's kicking the rock down the road, but – I hope that we're able to do the optimistic side of that 140. I think more realistically, it's going to be somewhere around 100. And even that is maybe going to be pushing it a little bit. But, like you said, none of us can actually predict what's going to happen right now. I think sentiment will kind of determine a lot of things. And obviously, we just have to kind of sit back and cross our fingers that this thing, that the curve that they talk about has been flattened and that this thing gets going away as fast as it came.
Would you be in favor of reducing the games just for this year to seven innings and trying to do some games of doubleheaders?
Yes, I would be in favor of that. And I know that not all the players would. I'm certain that not all the owners would. You're losing a couple innings of concessions and everything else. But I think in order to be able to realistically, if you want to get as many games in as possible, if that's really the plan, then yes, you have to be able to do seven inning doubleheaders here and there and just squeeze as much in as possible. The interesting thing is that, in 2020, Manfred's been pretty open-minded. Baseball is evolving quickly for baseball standards anyways. We heard about, potential playoff changes, before this thing even started. And I think that might be incorporated. There could be some interesting or different playoff structures this year. So I think there's a lot of options on the table, and because this season has been impacted, the way it has by coronavirus, I think that Manfred will want to try and take advantage, and you'll want to kind of see if certain things might work in the future. So it's an opportunity to get a little bit creative with the schedule, the seven-inning doubleheaders, trying to figure out where games work here and there, neutral sites, changing the playoff format. It's an opportunity as well. Maybe it's a tough scenario, but there are opportunities for creative fun things to happen in baseball. And if they play it right, they could end up doing some really cool things this year that actually end up making, maybe even benefiting baseball.
Brad Lidge here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Do you like that idea that was being talked about of seven teams making the playoffs and then certain division winners picking who they're going to play in that first round? Do you like that idea?
I kind of do. I got to be honest. I like the idea of seeing, a team pick another team. I'm sure that teams don't like that idea. I'm sure that a manager, if he's the one in charge or general manager, whoever it's going to be, the front office meets and then relays it to the manager and they all meet together. And then the manager says, whatever the scenario would be, I'm sure, I think about, a guy like Joe Girardi, I'm sure he would not want to do that. And say out loud, I want to play this team for some reason and have to answer all the questions about it. But that being said, I think baseball needs to interject a little bit of new life, a new blood, some fun, creative things to do. God knows the other sports can do them at will, and it doesn't impact anything. And I think in baseball, as fans, look, we all like to be purists, but at the same time, sports are evolving like crazy, and baseball needs to be okay having some changes here and there, having some fun with the game. Numbers and records in baseball aren't quite looked at the way they used to be when we held on to everything so sacredly. I think we can back off a little bit now and try and have some fun with the game.
Do you like the three batter minimum rule?
I'm okay with it. Like, you know, I think back about, you know, to a lot of the lefty specials I played with, a lot of my good buddies, and I don't know if they necessarily would be, you know, having a job, let alone the same job, you know, now that they were before. But I think there's a lot of ways to, you know, potentially speed the game along a little bit. And I don't think we need to take off time, but I think there is a ton of downtime with all the pitching changes and stuff. And so if this eliminates a couple of those per game, then I'm okay with it. I think, again, there has to be some concessions that happen with baseball. Baseball needs to continue to evolve as well. So this isn't – I'm a little bit surprised how easily this one passed through on the players' union side, but I don't think I would put up a big squawk to this one either.
Brad Lynch here with us on the show. You know, there's always talk across sports, and, you know, I say this also with the Jeff Passan tweet when he was listening to Criterias today on how the MLB season will begin, and he said in one of his tweets that there's no bans on mass gatherings that will limit the ability to play in front of fans, and there was a caveat to that. But let's just say, hypothetically, if baseball gets the okay to return, and let's say there's no fans in there, as a player, how much does that affect you if you're playing in front of no fans?
I think it impacts the players a lot. I mean, listen, especially in a position like closing out a ball game where you're living on adrenaline and you're living on that, you know, that roar from the crowd or the boos from the crowd when you're going on the road, you know, that extra intensity that the fans bring to a game, to a stadium, it impacts a lot of players. And I think that for some guys, maybe they get a little bit too amped, and for some, they might actually perform better in that environment where there's nobody in the seats. But for others, I think it's gonna take away from them quite a bit. And, you know, a lot of guys, like I said, they kind of live on adrenaline out there, pitchers especially. But sometimes guys need that kind of heightened state where everything around you is as intense as it is to be able to perform at their highest level. And so I think it will impact some guys. I think especially relievers aren't going to have, you know, like if you're throwing several days in a row, you kind of need that extra bump of adrenaline when you run out from the bullpen and you're pitching at home and the fans get on their feet. That really goes a long ways. And if you don't have it, then I don't really know. I mean, listen, you know, everyone likes to run out to their favorite song out of the bullpen, but if you're not playing that, I mean, if there's no fans there, I don't think you're going to be playing any music. So I think it's a whole other feel and a different environment, especially for a reliever.
Brad Lynch here with us on the Zach Gelb Show for a few more minutes. When we look at your career and you look back at that World Series championship in Philadelphia and going perfect with 41 saves in the regular season, how do you look back on that? And also your mentality when you were not blowing any saves. Like, did every night you just go to the ballpark and then eventually as the streak started to develop and start to happen and more attention was being put on it, did you feel that pressure? Were you just so locked in that you were so confident in what you had?
You know, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that streak for the first half of the season. I wasn't, you know, nobody was really talking about it. It was just, I was having a really good, you know, kind of comeback year. And then the second half of the season, kind of more and more people were talking about it. And I the way I kind of said it was, look, at any given point, I could blow a save. If you want to talk about it, great. But I also knew that so much, you know, depended on, listen, you know, if your defense plays great that night, you might have a bad outing. They might pick you up. You could blow a save and pitch great and have a couple broken bat, you know, shots to get in there, or an error could happen, and that's a blown save. So I didn't try and put a ton of stock into the save streak, but I'll tell you, definitely during the postseason, I remember, you know, a couple questions about, hey, listen, wouldn't it be horrible, you know, to blow a save now after going through a perfect season? And, you know, it's just one of those questions you know you're going to get. And, you know, at that point, I'd already been through, you know, quite a decent chunk of ups and downs in my career. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt. Just, you know, I had a really good kind of mental thought process and focus that whole year. And when I got out on the field, I was, you know, I felt very locked into each pitch and to each moment. And, you know, it's always a cliche, but it's really true. When you can kind of slow things down and just really focus on your job at hand, like doing one hitter at a time, one pitch at a time, typically you get better results. And I think that was the year that I was kind of mentally locked in the most on doing that. And fortunately, the results were great, but I had some incredible defense behind me. And because of that, I always felt like, you know, even if we were up only one run and the guy hit a leadoff triple, we were going to do something that was going to get out. Maybe I was going to strike a guy out. Maybe he was going to hit a line drive and we'd get a double play out of it. I don't know. But I always felt like it was going to work out.
Brad Lynch, if you had to give me your three best moments, like the first three memories that come to mind when you look back at your career, what are the three moments?
Good question. So obviously 2008 and you know, the final pitch of the World Series is certainly one. I guess the other two that kind of jump out right now are in 2003, my first full season and the first time we were ever in Yankee Stadium. You know,
the no-no?
Roy Oswalt, yeah, the no-hitter in 2003 against the Yanks, where I was fortunate enough to be in the right spot at the right time and got the win. And that was a huge, you know, just thing for me, I think, at that point in my career. And then 2005, my first All-Star game, striking out the side in Detroit was a pretty sweet moment as well.
Do you remember the three hitters that you struck out in 2005?
All right, let me think about it. We had Mike Sweeney was one. Garrett Anderson was another one. And Melvin Mora was the third.
I'm going to take your word for what it's worth. I'm going to assume that you got it right. But that had to be so cool, though. Like, your first All-Star game, after seeing it for so many years, to be able to be a part of it with all the other great players, you must have been like a big kid in a candy store, right?
I mean, it really was incredible just to be in that same clubhouse with all those other guys. And you know, I was probably a green fly for sure, trying to get autographs everywhere and, you know, exchanging, you know, bats and gloves and hats and having everybody sign stuff. It was an unbelievable experience, and you know, you don't forget something like that. And I just felt so great. You know, La Russa got me in the game to get an inning in, and you know, I had so much adrenaline. I was really just trying to make sure that I was able to kind of catch my breath and not airmail, you know, the pitch to the backstop. And you know, fortunately, it translated into some good stuff that day, and I got out of there quick, and you know, came out afterward, and I was like, you know, I was actually, Roger Clemens was in the it was in the clubhouse, and I came in and he missed it, and he asked me you know, how it went, and I didn't even really know how to explain it to him. I was so excited. So it was just a really cool environment and game to and just, of course, memory that I'll never forget.
Well, Brad, good luck to you and your family. Hang in there, and hopefully we get some baseball back soon. Really do appreciate the time this evening.
Awesome, Zach. Yeah, I will be crossing my fingers to get it back for as much for Little League and everything else as it is for the Major League.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.